I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday, where you pick the music. 410-583-1057. Send your request to the Plaza Ford text line. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, let's talk some NFL. Joining us now to talk about the end of the season, the offseason that's here, the draft coming up in a couple of months from NFL Network, from Fox Sports. He is Charles Davis. Charles, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Good. Doing all right. The Super Bowl's gone. Super Bowl 54 as KC came back to win 21 unanswered in the fourth quarter. Last year's Super Bowl, Charles, I forgot what the score was, 13-3. It was a snooze fest. Was this Super Bowl a fitting end to what was a pretty exciting season? Certainly the regular season of Baltimore was a great one.
Yeah, I thought so. And we, I think we all anticipated that this had the makings of that type of a game. If anything, there's probably a little less scoring than maybe we might have thought. I think of many of us thought both teams would be in the 30s. But all in all, I thought it was a terrific game. I thought it had a good flow to it. I know there's always going to be a question or two about did people like a call or not. I thought overall the officials did a really good job. So that's just, you know, my eyes. That's what my eyes told me. And I thought it was a fitting end to a very good season. And you know, look, it's been a season of thrills, chills, and spills all the way through. And Kansas City certainly gave us that in the fourth quarter, didn't they?
Yeah, I thought your impressions, you know, because everybody says, you know, it was Mahomes' worst game, but then he still won the MVP.
That's when you know you're a great quarterback, when you can have a night like that and find a way to win. I've always said it, and I don't know how you guys evaluate quarterbacks, you know, and there's so many ways to do it. We evaluate them in the moment. We evaluate them historically, evaluate them amongst their peers. We evaluate them versus different eras. All that that goes with it, right? For me, when I'm looking at a quarterback, I think they become a great quarterback if indeed they ascend to that level on days that they are 10 of 27, 10 of 30 throwing in the, going into the fourth quarter, an interception or two, just haven't been sharp, and they find a way to win. They're like a pitcher who wins on a day without his best stuff. And I thought Mahomes had that type of a game. And really down the stretch, his best stuff came back to him. But throughout the game, there was times there were missed throws, feet weren't right, all sorts of things. Maybe it was Super Bowl pressure. I don't know. San Francisco gave him some pressure. We do know that. But bottom line is down the stretch, that was a great look, a tremendous route by Sammy Watkins. How about the throw on that route against Richard Sherman? I mean, that's the type of thing we're talking about. Third and 15 throw. He has no legs on the throw. As you guys remember, I think it was Armstead who was into him. He can't step into it. He launches that thing downfield, and whammo, they're off and running. Yeah, Damian Williams deserved a lot of attention as a potential MVP. I thought they got it right because I still think that without Mahomes, they don't win that game.
All right, Charles, speaking of quarterbacks, you were at the Senior Bowl. Tell me about Justin Herbert, because I had questions going in, and I think you did too.
Yeah, I think everyone did, and I think there's still some questions, but I think that it's unfair is the wrong word, but it's a question I think we're always going to have about quarterbacks coming out of college now. How much leadership, how bigger and how developed are their leadership qualities? And the reason I say that is you guys watch college football. I mean, how many times do you notice a team huddling in a game? How many times do you notice a team, you know, having to really respond to their quarterback where he's in the huddle and, hey, all eyes on me. Guys, we got 85 to go. We're going to go get this bad boy done. He's the one calling out the signals, barking things out. We're looking at the sideline. We're getting cute play calls. We're getting, you know, in terms of, you know, hey, I'm reading the thing, the board that has a face of Steve Urkel, you know, you know, Oscar Madison. you know, and then there's Betty Boop over there. What does that mean? I have no idea. But that was a question of his coming in from every team. Leadership qualities. Does he have that outgoing personality or even the personality that galvanizes people? And he's well aware of that, and I think he worked on that some this week and will continue to do so. But talent-wise, arm talent-wise, he's got everything you're looking for. And background-wise, he's got a brother who's older, who's a doctor. So he was always chasing him in terms of grades. So no B's for him. He was an A student all the way through, chasing his brother's grades ahead of him. He's that type of a kid to go out and compete. My only question mark left, when I say only, the thing left for me was he only weighed in at 227, I think, at 6'6". It seems a little bit on the skinny side to me. He said he was comfortable at that weight. He played around 225, 224 for the Rose Bowl when he ran the ball effectively. But I think for his size and length in the NFL, he'd be better served getting up at 240, 245 and getting a little body armor on himself.
What do you think of the Love kid? Because all of a sudden he's kind of – people are putting him in the first round.
Yeah, and I think he's got a very good chance of going there. I like him a lot. Look, if you look at his junior tape and his senior tape, that's where the breakdown is going to come down, because junior tape 32-6, senior tape 20-17. How much credence are you going to give the loss of head coach, offensive coordinator, and 9 offensive starters around him from the year before when I think they won 10 games? How much do you put into that? How much do you say, well, you knew that your team wasn't quite the same, but I thought you pressed it too much and took too many risks? That's what it's going to come down to in the evaluation, because I think Vinny will tell both of us, certain scouts put more credence on the last thing they saw from you. Mm-hmm. Other scouts may give you a little bit of a pass and go back to something from before. So it just depends on how you want to look at it. But I thought he had a good week that kept getting better. I thought he ascended during the week, and he's got great arm talent, good movement skills. I think that people are getting a little carried away with the Mahomes thing. It's the flavor of the month now. Hey, does he look like – no, stop. That's too far for me, but that doesn't mean he won't be considered in the first round, and I'd be surprised if he's still around after 15.
Now, Charles, when I used to go to the Senior Bowl, I used to like to look at the small school guys, like who – it wasn't too big for them. You know, I remember because like T.O. was one that was that. Was there anybody like that for you, small school guy, that kind of jumped out at you?
Well, I don't know if we call Florida Atlantic a small school now, you know, but the tight end, Harrison Bryant, it definitely wasn't too big. I mean, this kid came out and played really well. What was the kid from Dayton? The tight end from Dayton was terrific, absolutely terrific. And, you know, now that's a small school.
Yep.
He came out and he played really well during that time frame, and I was most impressed by what I saw from him. And I don't know why, guys. I'm trying to find my roster here in front of me. I'm blanking on a couple of the names, but there's a safety from Lenore Ryan.
Who?
Did Jeremy say it?
Lenore Ryan,
safety, 220 pounds. He will strike the heck out of you. I think he has enough agility to cover the middle third when they put him there. He'll be able to blitz. And he had 6 punt return touchdowns in his college career with multiple others called back at 220 pounds. It was not too big for him either.
Charles Davis joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Total Request Thursday, talking some football with you. All right, let's get back to the NFL. The 17-game schedule, it looks like Vinny thinks it's inevitable because of the money that's going to be there and the concessions the owners, I guess, are going to have to make to the players. Charles, how do you feel about this one?
I like keeping it at 16, and the word purist isn't right, because if I were a purist, we're talking about 12, right?
Right.
Back in the day, Jim Brown first came into the league, it was 12-game season. Then we got to 14 with 6 preseason games. I would make the concession on preseason if you want to cut that to 2. But when they tell me that, hey, we're just doing the same number of games that we do anyway, no, you're not. Because that's what I call funny math. Because you're doing the same number of games. Let's say you say 4 preseason games and you play the 16, right? Now you just go ahead and say, okay, we'll do 3 preseason and play 17. It's the same thing. No, it's not. Because no one plays in the preseason. The better players that we're going to watch on Sundays are not playing. So that's folly. So that's not true. It's not the old days where guys had jobs in the off season and they needed 6 preseason games to play themselves into shape. Because a good number of them, their first running step for the year was at training camp. It's not like that anymore. So I don't like that part at all, and I'm struggling with the focus on safety, but let's play more games that count, which means more real collisions. That's a tough one for me. I have a feeling like you that it's almost a fait accompli. It's going to happen, but let's just say I'm not wildly crazy about it.
I'm okay with it, Charles, if, you know, and we haven't read enough of this.
Expand rosters.
That's exactly right. Expand rosters, you know, make the practice squad bigger, make the guys that can play on Sundays more, you know, then all of that, then I think it. But here's the thing that with owners, because the owners see the pie in the sky, they see the money. Yep. And in the last negotiations, they gave away anything if it didn't have to do, you know, if it helped them get the money, they gave it away. They didn't care about the coaches, you know, in practice time and all that. They gave all that away. And I think they'll be willing to give up anything to get that big pie with the new TV contracts coming and 17 games and an extra team in the playoffs. The money they're going to make is crazy.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you know what else? It won't just be them. Okay, the players in the NFLPA, and I can't speak for them, when you throw them a whole lot of money, depending on where you are in your career is how you would vote. The younger guys going to be like, more money? I'm in.
Right.
The older guys are like, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't know what this means to your body yet, kid. You think you're going to play forever. You're not. And that's where the breakdown is. But look, we're human, and I'm not pointing a finger because – I'm as human as they are. And if you came to me with a proposal and I saw enough money in that proposal, do you know how comfortable we quickly get in our minds with doing things?
Yep.
What's the old expression? Everyone has a price.
Well, money talks and you know what walks.
Yes, indeed. But we all have a price, right?
Yeah.
It's the old bad joke about, you know, hey, would you sleep with, when you say to a person, would you sleep with that person for a dollar? No, I wouldn't do that. How about a million? Pause. Ah, good. Now we've established that you've got a price. What is the final price?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Well, it would be a million in a case of beer for me, Charles, but I can speak for myself. Charles Davis, NFL Network, Fox Sports. Charles, we appreciate your time as always, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you. And the tight end is Adam Trautman from Dayton, and the safety is Kyle Duggar from Lenoir Rhyne.
All right, get ready for that combine, Charles.
Take care, guys.
Yep. You got it. Charles Davis joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.